A horse walks into a bar, and the bartender says, "Hey, buddy, why the long face?" Maybe mildly inappropriate for a church setting, but there's a reason for that joke to head off our message today, because many times, as a pastor might say to Christians walking into the church, "Hey, buddy, why the long face?" One of my favorite artists is Anya, and she sings a song called "How Can I Keep from Singing?" And remember what Thoreau said. Thoreau said, "Most men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to their graves with the song still in them." I wonder if that describes you or me. I wonder if when the world sees a Christian, would they say, "Hey, buddy, why the long face?" And here's what Anya says, one of the verses in that song. She says, "My life goes on in endless song above earth's lamentation. I hear the real, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. No storm can shake my innermost calm while to that rock I'm planted." And she says, "How can I keep from singing?" She hears the real, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. She hears what? What did we talk about last week? She hears the resonance. You know, by the way, Nathan, how long have I been pastor at Newville? When did we start? 2005, going on 10 years. Going on 10 years. Delivered hundreds of sermons in that time. I never had so much feedback on a message as I did from last week's. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, it is on the loaded up on the website there for you to listen to. I think it is vital and important for Christians to understand that resonance that Anya's talking about. Why the long face? Look what Peter says. Peter says, "Do not fear what they fear or be disturbed." Who's they? Like Brock's song. The world. Do you fear what the world fears, and are you disturbed? Peter says, don't. He is quoting Isaiah chapter 8. Well, how do we do that? And how are you doing with that, by the way? What's the remedy? How do you not do that? He tells us how. He says, but instead of that, instead of fearing what they fear, and what does the world fear? Number one thing the world fears? Not getting their way. He says, instead of that, but set apart the Messiah as not just as Messiah, but look what he says to set him apart as Lord in your heart. Well, there's the trick. As Lord in your heart. And then he says something will happen to you. We talked about this in our class this morning. Something will happen if you set apart the Messiah as Lord in your heart. And then he says, then be ready. Be ready to give an explanation to people who are going to come up to you and ask you about the peace, about the hope, he says, that is within you. How many people have come up to you and asked you about the hope that is within you? Because it's a different kind of hope, and it's only possible, otherwise you're going to fear what they fear, and you're going to be very disturbed. If you set aside the Messiah as Lord in your heart, there's going to be a change in you to the point where people are going to say, "I need you to tell me about this hope that is within your heart." You know why they're going to do that? Because The world very well understands. The world understands fear, anxiety, worry, depression, hopelessness. The world understands that. They're filled with it. It's rife in our world. They also understand secular hope. Secular hope. Again, secular hope is, and Dallas Willard brought out an important thing this morning, Teresa. He said, idolatry is trying to use God to make your life what you think it should be. That was so powerful. See, that's the world's secular hope. They get that. They get fear. They get worry. They get anxiety. They get depression. They get hopelessness. They don't need us to give an explanation for that. No one's going to come up and say to you, why are you hopeless? Because they know why. But they are going to ask you, if you set aside the Messiah as Lord in your heart, they're going to ask you, what is it with that hope that you have? They can't understand the hope of the people of God. The world can't understand it. Do you understand that? Why? Because Paul says, and don't burn by this when you read Colossians, when Paul talks about it, he says, we heard about you. Your faith in Christ and your love for all the saints, and we also heard why. Because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. Now, that means two things. That statement means two things. That hope is reserved for you. You. It's reserved for you. And it's also tells where it's reserved. It's reserved in heaven. Oh, there's a scandal of particularity there. I understand that. And here's what changes us. That hope reserved just for you, not for the world, just for you. The resonance of that comes forward to meet us in the present. It comes and it changes our lives. Now, why is this important? Maybe you don't think it is important. Maybe you think it's okay to walk around and people say, hey, buddy, why the long face? Maybe you think that that's attractive to people. Let me tell you why I think that this is important. And I'll use an example in my life and what I've talked to some of my protégés about, and that is this. And Teresa does not agree with this. And Teresa is a marriage counselor. She's a professional. She knows more than I do. But I'm going to claim the high ground on this argument. Here's how I think about it. As a father and a husband, when I had my little boys at home, four boys, as a father and a husband, if I showed worry, fear, anxiety, depression, hopelessness, if I showed that, if they saw that in me, what do you think they did? What would they do? Panic. If dad is shaken, things are bad. And here's why I claim the high ground on that. Because Teresa, and Teresa's always saying, see, she takes the opposite tact. She says, Tell me when you're worried about something. Tell me when you have anxiety about something. I want to share that. I want to help you with that. And she's right to a point, honey. But I've always said it is the man's job. And I've also said this: my wife and children will never know what never reached them because I didn't let it. Now, to me, that's a wonderful sexist comment, by the way. But that's the way it is in my mind. I think that's the man's role in a family. And if they see me break down, they're going to break down. And here's why I claim the high ground, Teresa. Because I'm thinking of Thursday night in that walled-off garden on the Mount of Olives, the day before he was executed, our Lord and Master, with his friends and followers, broke down. But what did he do? What did he do, Teresa? Went off by himself. told his disciples to stay, and he went off by himself. And our Lord and Master experienced worry, fear, anxiety, depression, hopelessness. And he did it away from his disciples so that they didn't see the leader break down. Now, I'm not suggesting that Christians do not go through periods of worry, fear, anxiety, depression, hopelessness. I'm not suggesting that that would be disingenuous, and you also know that that's not reality. In fact, if you read the Psalms, which we're going to deal with at our next time, you read the Psalms, you will see that the Psalms are complete with God's people experiencing just those things and how they dealt with them, how they pulled themselves with the help of the Holy Spirit out of those things. So if the family sees the husband and father lose it with hopelessness, they panic. As image bearers, why is this important? As image bearers, if the world sees us in that state, you see this? What are they going to do? They're going to panic. If God's people don't demonstrate a hope that is different, a hope that is reserved just for them, what hope do we possibly have as the world? You've all had the experience where you've run into somebody and they're different. They've been changed. What do you say? Maybe when you get away from you're talking to somebody who also knew them, you would say this, and you probably said, you said, what happened to them? What changed them? The church at Colossae went through this exact thing. The Holy Spirit's goal, and the reason he's led me, Teresa, and Katie into this study is because the Holy Spirit wants the church at Newville to experience the same thing that the church of Colossae experienced. And when they're pressed on the issue, and when they say, what happened to those people? What's up with those Newvillians? They can trace it back to the day. The day of recognition. The very day. Can you do that? And what was the day of recognition for them? I have to step back right now and know that I have a particular agenda right now, and I'm going to admit that. I have an agenda, and I have to get rid of that agenda. And my agenda is, I don't think it's a bad one necessarily, my agenda is I want so badly for you to understand what the church at Colossae got, that the light went on in their heads. And I'm telling you, if the Holy Spirit can do that for you, and here again, I'm just making my agenda worse, but I'm going to go with it. If the Holy Spirit can do that for you, your lives will never be the same. That is a profound statement. But it is absolutely true. The church at Colossae recognized something. And what they recognized was, here's what the Holy Spirit wants you to recognize. What the message of truth actually reveals about God's grace and what it means for you here, now, today, as well as a future hope reserved for you, just for you. Well, what was it that they recognized? What was it about that day of recognition that was of such great moment, that was a watershed in their lives, that changed their lives, and they were never the same when they got a hold of what the message of truth actually says about God's grace? It's been life-changing for me. Absolutely revolutionary, life-changing for me. No, I don't have it all together. Absolutely not. But the flashes of what God's grace mean are coming more often, and they're lasting longer. And I hope that the Spirit can get this into your heart today. The middle paragraph on the back of your bulletins. May you be strengthened through the revelation, through the recognition. May you be strengthened, Newvillians, through the recognition. Strengthened with power. Power. Because knowledge is power. And if the Holy Spirit can give you the knowledge about the grace of God and what it actually means, you're going to be strengthened with power. Well, how and why? How and why are we going to be strengthened with power? How are we going to be strengthened with it? And why? What's the point? May you be strengthened with power. According to, watch this, his immense strength. That's how we're strengthened. Because we recognize something. The revelation. We recognize his grace. We recognize what it means. We recognize the tremendous power that it would take to make this happen. And you watch what's going to happen for you. There's a hope reserved for us corporately in heaven. There's also a hope reserved for you individually, idiosyncratically, only for you, only for Tori, only for Tom, only for Keith. There is a hope specific for you. That strengthen you a little bit? Okay, that's how you're strengthened. According to his vast strength. Through the revelation. Why? For all endurance and patience with joy. Read those together. For all endurance and patience with joy. How you doing with that? Day by day, here and now, recognition of the grace of God. And I know this resonates with you. That power allows you to, day by day, endure with patience, with joy. Not just enduring and patient. Do you ever know someone who can't wait to tell you that they are being inconvenienced? Oh, I'm enduring. Oh, I'm being patient. Can't wait. How about if they have endurance and patience with joy? Different? How's that happen? By the revelation, by the recognition. How's that possible? Giving thanks to the Father. Why, in my present situation, would I give thanks to the Father? Things aren't going my way. Let me tell you a story. And this is not my story. But it taught me so much, and Teresa told me this story. Teresa and Timmy were at the children's hospital, and he was going through a horrible period at that time. Timmy lost his hair from the chemo. He had the swollen face from the prednisone, and just really was. We knew that he had relapsed again. And Timmy knew it, and Teresa knew it, and they were there alone. I was at work. And they went down into the radiology department to have a test done. And while they were in that room, in the waiting room, a child came in also to have a test done. And this child had been burned over 90% of their body. And they were sitting across from Timmy and Teresa. And Timmy sat there for a while and watched the child, looked at the child, and then he says to Mom, he says, "Mom, I feel grateful." Have you done that? Do you know the power in that? To feel grateful. How do we endure patiently with joy? What is our part in that equation? What happened with Timmy and Teresa and myself through that experience? We're grateful. As God's people, grateful for what he has and what he is going to do for us. And when that happens, you will find something creeping into your lives. You'll find endurance, patience, with joy. When you are grateful, try this. I was at such a low point in my life one time, and I started instead concentrating on that. I started to be grateful to God, and I thanked God. And when I threw that grateful praise, thanksgiving to the Father, what boomeranged back to me and what will boomerang back to you is patience, endurance with joy. Brothers and sisters, that's image bearing. What is the sign that you are God's people? What is the sign that you have a hope reserved for you in heaven? A hope reserved just for you. That you have endurance and patience with joy. Do you see the heretical teaching then that says this? God's grace is about you not having to endure anything. God's grace is about you don't have to have patience. It's all going to be about the joy because God's job is to make sure you get everything you want and your life is going to go exactly the way you want it to go. How heretical is that teaching? What Dallas Willard called idolatry. Is that impressive to anybody? That's the world's hope. We have a hope that is inexplicable to the world. Inexplicable. And when you set the Messiah apart in your heart as Lord, and you are grateful, and you thank him, and yes, you endure, and yes, you have patience, but you do it in a way that the world can't possibly understand. Somehow, some way, this person still has joy. I have to ask them, what is that? You've got to tell me, explain the hope that is within you. Because when I look at your circumstances, they look hopeless. Why would we give thanks to the Father? Because you recognize something. There's been a day of recognition for you at Newville today. What did the Church of Colossae recognize? What was it? What was this great thing, this moment, this watershed that may be for you today? Giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you. Enabled you to do something. There's God's grace that they recognize. They recognize that God enabled something in their lives. What did he enable for them? What is their inheritance? What is their hope held for you in heaven? Do you know? What's the hope reserved just for you? Sharing the saints' inheritance in the light. Paul calls it, share in the saints' inheritance in the light. I love that phrase. How do you show? What is the sign that you are sharing in the saints' inheritance in the light? Is it, hey, buddy, why the long face? Or is it patience, endurance with joy? I'm sharing. It's happening now. He has enabled you. It's past tense. It's already been done. In principle, it's true of your life now. Please get a hold of this. Please stop waiting for this inheritance. You're to share in it. Paul says, you share it. You share it now. How can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my innermost calm when to that rock I'm planted. Well, what exactly is this inheritance in the light? Let's get more specific. Okay, Paul, this is how he writes. Paul's writing is like a bud, a rosebud. I miss her, by the way. Rosebud, and a rosebud opens up slowly. That's how Paul writes. We just have the closed bud. Now he's going to open it up. He has rescued. He has rescued you. From the domain of darkness. The people are rejoicing. They're rejoicing like it's harvest time. They're rejoicing like it's they've had the spoils of war. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Are we rejoicing? Of those living in the land of darkness, a light has dawned. He has rescued us. You know what that says to me? Maybe to you? That means I never could have extricated myself from the domain of darkness on my own because I needed rescue. No one needs rescued if they can do it on their own. Grace of God, day of recognition. And notice again, past tense. He has rescued you. Whether you want to live there or not, this is the enemy's game. I'm on to him. This is his game. He does not want God's people to endure patiently with joy because that sends a message that resonates to the world. He wants you, he knows it's done. The enemy knows you've already been rescued from the domain of darkness, but he sure as heck can keep you from sharing in the same way. Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, in the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see the hope that is within you and give praise to your Father in heaven. Or is it, hey, buddy, why the long face? He has enabled you by rescuing you. He's enabled us by rescuing us. I was in a domain of darkness that no way, no how could I get out of. No way. Oh, the world offers a lot of remedies, and they work for a while. He's rescued us from the domain of darkness, and then he just set us aside, and then he says, okay, it's up to you now to get into this kingdom. He's rescued. He's done his part. No, Paul, that's not what Paul says at all. I want you to notice carefully. He's rescued us from the domain of darkness, circle, and it didn't stop there. Isn't that great? Didn't stop there. And transferred us. He's taken you from here. You were walking in the land of darkness. You were living in the land of darkness, and the light has dawned. He's taken you from here, and he's put you here. From here to here. You're already there. He has rescued and he has transferred both. Where? Transferred where? Into the kingdom of the Son he loves. What kind of a kingdom do you think that would be? The kingdom of the Son that he loves. What kind of a kingdom do you think God is going to put the Son that he loves into? What kind of a kingdom am I going to put my sons into that I love dearly? And I will give them the kingdom that is beyond their wildest expectations. And you are going to be transferred. No, I'm sorry. You are already transferred into that kingdom. And it's made for the Son that he loves. Well, what happens in that kingdom? What happens in that kingdom? I'm reminded of David, 23rd Psalm. It's the phrase in there that caught me. Very short phrase of David in that psalm. He says all the things that God does for him, and then he sums it up this way: he restores my life. What happens in that kingdom? What happens now for you? You've already been transferred there. You've been rescued. Start acting like it. You've been transferred. You're in the kingdom of the Son that he loves. What happens there? Renewal. Restoration. We have, 14, verse 14, we have, present tense, have redemption. The forgiveness of sins in him. That is such a shop-worn phrase. That is one of those shun words, you know, that we lived on. Salvation, redemption, sanctification, glorification, you know. We blow by those words. We run that stop sign 90 miles an hour. We never stop to say, what does that really mean? Here's the day of recognition that the Colossians, Church of Colossae had, and what I hope the Holy Spirit gives you today. Here's your day of recognition, watershed moment in your life coming. Barry lost his friend, Marty. The individual hope held for us, reserved just for Barry. Everything about that relationship with Marty is going to be restored to you, Barry. Everything. Gerald, everything about your life is going to be restored to you. Renewed. Keith, everything. The mistakes that you thought you made, the things you thought you did wrong. We have redemption because we have the forgiveness of sins. Do you see this? All the mistakes that I made, all the people that I hurt, all the bad choices I made, and I made many. The reason the Church of Colossae, what they recognize and what I now recognize is all of those things are going to be forgiven, used, oh, beyond forgiveness. All things work together for the good. Do you see this now? There are no mistakes for God's people. That is forgiven. That is made new. That is redeemed. That is turned around in ways we couldn't possibly imagine, nor do we need to, because he's enabled us. He's rescued us from that domain of darkness where the sins dog your steps and those sins will go into eternity. That's the domain of darkness, and he's transferred us into a kingdom where none of those rules apply. A hope the world can't possibly understand. None of the rules apply in the kingdom of renewal because every foible in Tim Davis's life, and there are many, are forgiven, renewed, restored, and used. Oh, you don't have to worry about Timmy. My son even now beholds the face of God waiting for me. He is even now brand new and eternal. Oh, that relationship will be restored, perfected. So will yours. So will those things that dog your steps that you wish you hadn't done or that you wish you could have done. I don't have a bucket list. God's people shouldn't have a bucket list. Forget that. We have to watch our language. You will never die. You'll never see death. You'll never taste death. And all of the things that you thought you missed out on, well, we're going to a kingdom. In fact, we're in it now, where it's renewal and restoration for all eternity. My relationship with my son, Timmy, and all of my sons, and I don't mean to leave them out, you understand the situation, will grow and fulminate and expand. And Tori and Tad and Tom and Timmy, we'll have man meetings into eternity. That relationship will be restored, renewed, made perfect. Your work will be restored, made perfect. The things, the projects that you thought you failed on, restored, renewed, made perfect, forgiven. The worship that you thought was inadequate will be restored, renewed, made perfect. That's the resonance. It's coming from that hope reserved just for you in that place. That's the resonance. 7.83 hertz that is coming into your brains from that hope reserved just for you in heaven, and it changes how you feel, how you live, how you act. Endurance and patience with joy. Why? Because I'm giving thanks to the Father. I can be grateful. Let's pray. Lord, I pray your blessing and your Holy Spirit's sharing of the truths of this message.